Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Healing, What is Within, is a Christian spiritual formation and pastoral care book by Chuck DeGroat, a licensed therapist, professor of pastoral care and Christian spirituality, and writer known for work on trauma, abuse, leadership health, and narcissism in church contexts. The book addresses people who appear functional outwardly while carrying unresolved shame, grief, anger, loneliness, or fear within. Its purpose is not to offer a quick self-improvement program, but to guide readers through a compassionate inward process of noticing wounds, understanding coping patterns, and reconnecting with God, the body, the self, and community. DeGroat brings together clinical insight and Christian theology, especially the idea that God meets wounded people with kindness rather than condemnation. The book belongs to the intersection of trauma-informed spiritual care, Christian counseling, and reflective discipleship, offering language and practices for those who feel wounded, weary, and spiritually disoriented. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, hidden wounds are treated as unresolved harm rather than personal failure. A central concern of healing what is within is the hidden pain that remains after experiences people could not fully control. DeGroat frames emotional and spiritual fragmentation not as weakness, moral failure, or lack of faith, but as the lingering effect of harm that has not been safely processed. This distinction matters because many faith-based approaches to suffering can move too quickly toward correction, forgiveness, or renewed service. DeGroat instead begins with recognition. Buried shame, grief, anger, and loneliness are not obstacles to be bypassed. They are signals that something within the person still needs attention. The book, therefore, asks readers to become curious about what keeps them stuck rather than immediately judging their reactions. This approach is especially relevant for people who look resilient but feel inwardly fractured. By naming disconnection as a consequence of woundedness, the book creates space for a slower healing process. The emphasis is not on self-absorption, but on recovering the capacity to live honestly before God, others, and oneself. Secondly, the body is presented as an essential witness to emotional pain. DeGroat gives significant attention to the relationship between the body and emotion. The book recognizes that unresolved pain often appears not only as thoughts or memories, but also as bodily tension, fatigue, aches, vigilance, numbness, or other forms of embodied distress. This emphasis places healing what is within a trauma-informed conversation while keeping the language accessible for general readers. The body is not treated as a problem to suppress or a distraction from spiritual life.
Nah.
Instead, it becomes a meaningful source of information about what the person has endured and what remains unhealed. This is important because many religious readers have been trained to privilege beliefs, decisions, and spiritual disciplines while ignoring physical signals. DeGroat challenges that split by suggesting that healing requires listening to the whole person. Paying attention to the body can slow down abstract explanations and help readers notice fear, grief, or shame as lived realities. In this sense, the book expands Christian healing beyond mental agreement into embodied awareness. Thirdly, God is depicted as a compassionate witness rather than a distant evaluator. One of the book's distinctive theological contributions is its portrayal of God as a compassionate witness to trauma and woundedness. DeGroat does not center the image of God as a detached judge who primarily evaluates spiritual performance. Instead, he emphasizes divine kindness, presence, and patient attention. This shift has practical significance for readers whose suffering is entangled with shame or religious fear. If God is imagined mainly as disappointed, then inward honesty can feel dangerous. If God is received as compassionate, then hidden pain can be brought into the open without immediate self-condemnation. The book, therefore, links theology directly to healing capacity. A person cannot easily examine wounds, defenses, or coping mechanisms if the spiritual environment feels punitive. And DeGroat invites readers to consider that God is present not only after they improve, but in the places where they are wounded, weary, or wandering. This gives the book a pastoral tone that differs from more directive spiritual growth books. Healing begins with being accompanied, not being fixed. Fourthly, memory and imagination become practical tools for reshaping inner narratives. Healing what is within includes attention to redemptive remembering and imagination as part of the healing process. Redemptive remembering involves recalling moments of grace, safety, kindness, or divine presence in order to counter internal stories formed by harm. This does not mean denying painful memories or replacing them with forced optimism. Rather, it widens the field of memory so that trauma, shame, or abandonment do not become the only available interpretation of life. Imagination also has a role, especially in forming a felt sense of safety and connection with God. For readers shaped by fear or disconnection, abstract theological claims may not be enough to produce trust. imaginative prayer or reflective visualization can help a person encounter compassion in a more experiential way. But the value of these practices lies in how they engage more than rational analysis. They work with the mind, emotions, body, and spiritual perception together. De Groot presents them as gentle practices, not techniques that guarantee a result, which keeps the book aligned with its slower, pastoral approach. Lastly, coping patterns, including addiction, are approached with curiosity before condemnation. The book also reframes coping mechanisms, including addiction, by asking what need or wound might be underneath them. This does not excuse destructive behavior, but it changes the first question from what is wrong with you to what happened within you that made this seem necessary. Such a shift is important in Christian communities where addiction, numbness, withdrawal, overwork, or compulsive control may be addressed mainly through shame or moral pressure. De Groot encourages curiosity because coping patterns often represent attempts to survive pain, avoid further harm, or manage unbearable emotion. When readers understand this, they can begin to address the deeper wound rather than only attacking the surface behavior. Rest and restoration come through reconnection with God, others, and the self, not through isolated self-analysis alone. This gives the book a communal and spiritual dimension. Personal healing is not reduced to private introspection. It involves learning how to receive care, tell the truth, and live less defensively in relationships. In conclusion, healing what is within is best suited for readers who sense that their outer competence hides unresolved inner distress. It will be especially useful for Christians dealing with shame, grief, trauma, loneliness, spiritual disconnection, or patterns of numbing that they do not fully understand. Pastors, spiritual directors, counselors, and ministry leaders may also find it helpful as a bridge between trauma-informed care and Christian spiritual formation. The practical benefit of the book lies in its language for noticing wounds without panic or self-condemnation. It helps readers connect emotions with bodily signals, reconsider coping patterns, and approach God as present in pain rather than absent from it. Intellectually, it offers a way to think about suffering that avoids both shallow positivity and purely clinical detachment. Compared with many books in the Christian healing category, it stands out because of De Groot's combination of therapeutic experience, pastoral sensitivity, and theological restraint. It does not promise instant transformation, and it does not reduce healing to better habits or stronger belief. Its distinctive contribution is a gentle, integrated account of coming home to the self and to God through honesty, compassion, embodied awareness, and renewed connection. If you would like to support Chuck De Groot, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.